This is Alan Karpik with Tom Dienhart, our Saturday simulcast. And Brian Newbert is on a brief vacation this week. I am fresh off a vacation, and Mr. Dienhart has been holding down the fort as he gets ready, and we all get ready for the start of football, which will be a week from Friday. That would be August the 6th in a practice. Tommy, we'll start with that. Just to give us, I know there's been, was tweeted out a couple of days ago, a practice sponsored of all things, but also open to the public. You don't know all of your media availability just yet. I know you'll find that out this week, but tell us a little bit about that with respect to that first practice, a new twist.
Yeah. 6 p.m. Eastern time, I'm assuming Ross Aid Stadium, because Alan, they're going to show a movie at the conclusion of practice. So again, the first practice of the year, August 6th, open to the public, come on, come all, watch the practice, hang out afterward and watch a movie. I don't believe the movie, to my knowledge, has been revealed as to what the title will be, but again, sort of a
Remember the Titans, maybe? I don't know, what do you think?
Sort of a fun festive way to start the year. So hard to believe we're here, Alan. The season's on our doorstep, a lot of anticipation here. So much has changed for Purdue football in the last, what, 6-8 months since 2020 closed. And it's going to be a lot of fun to finally get a look at these guys and watch the team start to take shape.
Yeah, it is going to be that way. And we're all, there's so many new names, you're not going to be able to tell the players without a program, so to speak, at least on the defensive side, some new faces, and it will be getting used to. I also want to say that this Saturday simulcast is sponsored by the Union Club Hotel at Purdue. Tom and I are going to be doing, Tom doesn't even know this yet, but we are going to be doing some form of a public gathering at the Union Club. We think the Thursday of the first game is what we're planning. It's so stay tuned, but we'll have some fun with that. We'll live stream that as well. Gosh knows how many thousands of people Tom and I would bring into the Purdue Union Club for that. But we're working closely with Vicky Wicks and the gang there to get that going. But you know, it is, there are going to be people in the union. This there were last year, but I mean, it looks like to attending football games, all that is an exciting thing. Yes, we've got the Delta variant that we're all dealing with, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But there was also some breaking news, or some news on Friday afternoon. Purdue added Jeff Brohm added a staff member, an important one. I guess they all are, but give us the update on that, Tom.
Yeah, you know, they added more experience to this defensive staff, Alan, which was totally made over in the offseason. And again, experience was the operative word when Jeff Brohm went about sort of reconfiguring the defensive staff. Veteran coaches like Brad Lambert, Mark Hagan, and Ron English. And now he's bringing in David Elson in a defensive quality control role, Alan. David, of course, is a native of Indianapolis, went to Cathedral, played at Butler, was the head coach at one time of Western Kentucky, which of course is where Jeff Brohm was the head coach too. And David has been a defensive coordinator at a number of schools, including Ball State, most recently worked down at Marion University in Indianapolis. So just another veteran mind to add to this Purdue defensive room. And boy, you know, a media days last Friday, Alan, we spoke to Coach Brohm, and his message has been the same there and going back to the winter, where this defense is going to have multiple voices involved. He wants a lot of input from everybody in the room. That wasn't the case last year. And of course, Alan, they've got these veterans that all can bring a lot to the table for a defense that Jeff Brohm has said time and again, he wants to be very aggressive.
You know, I like that, and you know, in terms of the fact that he's getting guys that are his contemporary, have experience, have head coaching experience, and I can't help but think that that will help that staff room. If the head coach can get feedback from guys he can respect, trust, all of those factors can't help but help. You know, that what needs to gel with his staff. because you have so many new faces, and you know you got guys that have some familiarity, obviously Mark Hagan being one with Purdue, but this is an important hire. And of course, David Elsenwood as well, just because he grew up down the road, so to speak. But this is a thing that I think is a real positive step for Jeff Brohm and company to be able to add that. I think it's a big factor in helping, you know, again, it's a lot of this storyline, Tom, and I see if you agree, will be because of the transfer portal, the new names, the fact that you don't have Rondale Moore anymore. The factor of how this team's, it's going to be how it all comes together, isn't it? I mean, literally, that sounds simple, but how this all meshes is really going to go a long way to determining whether Jeff Brohm has a successful fifth season as the head coach at Purdue.
Yeah, you're right. So much newness on defense in particular, Alan, you talked about the key there, developing that chemistry and that cohesion with so many new parts involved defensively. And again, not just the staff, Alan, you talked about the transfer portal, and Purdue was very active in the portal this all entire off season. They brought in a total defensively, Alan, of 6 transfers. One was a junior college transfer, a defensive tackle, but the other 5 defensive transfers all came via the portal. So they really injected that defense with not only new coaching minds, but some talent. Some personnel on the field they think can really upgrade that defense too. So between the new coaches, the influx of transfers, again, that defense has a lot of newness to it. And you're right, I think the big key this year as far as success goes, I think most people would agree, is how well this defense develops and continues to play during the course of the 2021 season.
Let me ask you this, because for you, you know, you haven't been able to be in practice all last year. That's kind of like being a fish out of water for you, as much as you like covering practice and being there in the flesh, so to speak. We still don't know exactly what our availability is, but we do know, I mean, it's going to be important that you get a chance to set eyes on some of these guys that we've only seen, even from Yanni Karloftis Mike Alemo, to other guys that we just want to know, you know, what they look like and where they might fit in. There's a lot, and then of course all the transfers, you're going to be busy trying to figure and put a pen to paper, so to speak, of how all this is going to play out.
Yeah, I love practices, Alan. I don't know what it is. In some ways it's kind of weird, almost like practice is better than games. I can't explain. Yeah. There's just something about the intimacy of it. I don't know, there's something about the grind of practice too that always appeals to me out in the heat. And yeah, boy, you talked about Yanni Karloftis. Eager to see him, the West Side native.
Yeah.
Oh, no, West Lafayette High School is the best high school in America. Let's get that out there first.
That's true. And you're a football alumni there, so you're good. Okay.
I want to see O.C. Brothers, the Auburn linebacker. I want to see Jamari Brown, the Kentucky cornerback. You know, Joe Anderson from South Carolina, DeMarge Lewis from Indiana. You know, Prince Boyd, the defensive tackle from the junior college. I want to see those transfers in particular as well. And again, it's going to be fun to see what those guys look like and watch them move around the field, watch them work out. And then offensively, of course, there's some newcomers too. I'm really eager to see the wide receiver from Marshall. And I also want to see Tyler Witt, the guard from Western Kentucky, who's probably going to start at right guard. So again, and then you have the special teams. We're going to have a new punter, Jack Gansel from Australia, and then Mitchell Finrun from Samford down in Birmingham, Alabama, is probably going to win a kicking job. So just a lot of newness. And I'll tell you what, the one last guy I'm really eager to see from a transfer aspect is Christopher Jefferson. He's a safety from Findlay University in Ohio. I think Purdue's got a real gem here. I know Findlay's only in Division II school. This guy was dominant at that level. He's from the Cleveland area. And I think he has a chance to come in and have a real impact at safety for Purdue.
And, you know, Brock Thompson, you talked about from Marshall to Purdue, storylines galore also, you know, a guy that wants to be closer to home, mm-hmm. and a guy that, you know, on paper, Purdue's wide receiving room is kind of full, but not really. This guy did contribute at Marshall, made an impact early. You know, again, a perfect storyline to what you're, you know, to begin to tell. That's the fun of all this, I guess, Tom, is the fact that every year is a story. And every year there's a storyline, And for every team in Division One football or really in college sports, it's that transfer. It's being able to put these guys together and see who in the heck's going to contribute.
Yeah, Brock Thompson, Indianapolis native. He had a brother deal with cancer. So it was a chance for him, like you said, to come back home. And Allen pretty wasn't really looking for a wide receiver in the portal. But they felt this kid was too good to pass up. So that they got him. And I think he could end up maybe being a top three or four receiver for Purdue before this season is over. So eager to see him as well. And like I said, there's so much newness here, and it's going to be fun. And also, you know, just to keep this on your radar, everybody out there too, that last I heard, Purdue is still trying to work things out to bring in Virginia Tech's Alec Bryant, a defensive end, was a four-star recruit out of Texas before he went to Blacksburg a few years ago. He's a guy that if they can get the red tape figured out, Alan, I think Purdue's going to take him. Time's running out here. Summer school ends in about a week, and then they'll have a small window where they can get him enrolled. But they would definitely like to get Brian on campus after they saw the Marcus Cushney kid from Alabama A&M flip to Florida State a week or so ago.
Yeah, and obviously, to the end of summer school, we don't know. We won't go into specifics, but there will be some anxiety in terms of academics, and there always is for any coach and any when you have 85 scholarship players and then some. It's going to be a storyline as well. Summer school ends the Friday, August 6th. So, you know, again, one thing which seems pretty clear, Tom, you're not going to have a roster you can kind of count on maybe till that Monday, the 9th, just because I know Purdue's first practice would be the Friday the 6th. But you have to think that assuming everybody gets here, everybody's, you know, we just don't know the answers to all these things just yet.
Yeah, you know, right.
And you look at go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're exactly right. You know, with so many guys, you know, you just never know. So again, I'm sure Purdue's going to let the dust settle and see how it goes. They want to have their full complement of players, but you never know, Alan. You've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time, and it seems like every year there's a surprise or two, isn't there?
There is. It's guaranteed. Guaranteed. Something's going to happen. You hope it's not an injury. We've certainly had fall camps where we've had catastrophic injuries or guys that were out for the season. That's almost a guarantee either. You're not hoping for that, but go back to the days of there have been many over the years where guys have gotten dinged up or lost for the year. And that's a thing you always are concerned about.
Now there is about a month or so ago, I wrote a story about there are new practice guidelines for training camp this year, less contact, Alan. I think there's fewer scrimmages as well. So there won't be as much full-blown contact, full padded contact in training camp this year, another move toward player safety concerns. So I think the hope is, Alan, to keep these guys fresher in August and maybe avoid some of those injuries that we've seen in the past.
You know, it's funny, and not funny, but interesting in some ways that, you know, we've with name, image, likeness, transfer portal, COVID, we've kind of forgotten it's not the injury, the player safety part is always top of mind, but it hasn't been the top of mind conversation piece. And yet now once people get back into camps and presumably in a relatively normal situation, you're right. I think this will be a continuous. Obviously, we know the practice. You talked about the practice protocol changes, or that's going to be a factor. But I think that's still something that's going to continue to be a storyline in college football, especially once we kind of can normalize things. You agree on that?
Yeah. I may have to. I'll go find that story. I talked to Coach Brom maybe 2 months ago, and all that news broke, and maybe we repost that story on our board just to give fans a sort of refresher on what the new practice procedures are this year that are new. So you're right. Boy, I can't recall, Alan. I've been blessed to be able to work in some form of media for over 30 years now. And I can't recall many off seasons with this much seismic news from a collegiate sports standpoint. Going back to the explosion of the portal. And then earlier this summer, we had the NIL legislation on July 1st. And then now, Alan, just within the last couple of weeks, conference expansion has been an issue that's just mushroomed, and it's going to continue to hang over college sports. It seems like maybe for the next 2 or 3 months. And maybe, Alan, the next move is people think something's going to happen with the NCAA. Maybe there's a big pull away by a group of schools too. So on and on it goes. We're seeing collegiate sports change before our very eyes in a way we never have.
Yeah, and Texas and Oklahoma will be joining the SEC in 2025.
Maybe earlier.
Who knows?
Maybe earlier.
What's that?
Maybe earlier.
And maybe early. Yeah. Yeah. You know, who knows how that's going to – I'm sure they'd like to. And, you know, and there's been a lot of talk this week, and you and I can throw this back and forth, you know, with what will the Big Ten automatically counter? What makes a good situation for the Big Ten? You know, I think the Big Ten's always promoted, and rightfully so. It's that all but one member of the Big Ten is a member of the AAU, which is an important distinction from an academic standpoint at University of all but Nebraska. And, you know, how much the Big Ten will continue to champion academics. You know, now if Kansas and Iowa State, we did look that up this week while I was on vacation. I did look that up and said, Kansas and Iowa State are AAU members. They would fit into the Big Ten from an academic standpoint. I am not a big fan of, if we have to look at this honestly, and I think that, you know, the Texas Oklahoma thing is just for one thing, and that's money, that's revenue for the SEC, and I do, and football revenue. Let's be frank, also. Now again, Texas brings a plethora of other sports where they've been very good. Oklahoma, to some extent, the same way in basketball. Texas is one in other sports as well. I'm just not convinced, and I know Brian wrote about this this week, and I would tend to agree. Iowa State and Kansas, in addition to the Big Ten, while it might be a nice addition for basketball, I'm not wild about that. I know you'd mentioned some things on the site this week about, do you go out and get the Pac-12? And I guess your point there, and it's real, is anything is possible now. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, yes, if the Big Ten could fill its final two spots with USC and UCLA or USC and Washington or something. Yeah. I mean, I guess from a, and you'd be adding to your football footprint. I don't see that as much for Kansas and Iowa State, though they would fit better. It still, to me, doesn't do the same. And I don't think I'm trying not to be a cynic at heart here, but let's be honest. A lot of this anymore is truly about college football alignment, and you know, will conferences continue to exist long term? Yeah, you'd think, but you don't know. And that's what's going to be an interesting storyline to watch, of where this all settles. And will the Big Ten stand pat and just stick where it is? That's also a possibility. And I wanted to ask you, because I haven't talked to you since you were down at Media Day. Did you get any sense from Kevin Warren just in terms of what the thought process is from that? And then secondly, I want to get your take on what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, the commissioner talked about it a little bit, just in real vague terms, Alan, sort of monitoring the situation, not going to make any hasty moves, of course. I'll be honest with you, buddy. I would feel a whole heck of a lot better if Jim Delaney was still sitting in that seat. One of the big revelations from Indianapolis, Alan, was the appointment of former Wisconsin AD and football coach Barry Alvarez to like a football advisory post within the Big Ten. So I think Barry's going to play a big role, I would think, in any conference changes from a roster standpoint. Barry, as we all know, is about as well connected as anybody in the country from a collegiate football standpoint, and a great resource that the conference wants to tap into. What's going to happen, Alan? I don't know. I certainly would love to know if the Big Ten ever called up Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I sure wish they would have maybe been proactive. I sure would like to see those teams in the Big Ten and not the SEC. A lot of people thought Texas was going to be a Big Ten school a while ago.
Right.
And they're more of a Big Ten type institution. It's too late now. They're gone. But again, I kind of wonder if the Big Ten ever pushed them or pursued them. Again, the ship has sailed. What's next, Alan? Who knows? I've read a bunch of stories, listened to podcasts, talked to people in the industry. And boy, you hear everything. And I'm like you, there's nobody left in the Big 12 that's going to move the needle or enhance the Big 10 football product. And let's be clear about this. This is all about football, not basketball or anything else. Sorry, Kansas. I do think, though, there is some there has to be some appeal to stretching your footprint to the West Coast, Alan. Then you have a conference that spans the country. You can have football games start or at least in three different time zones. It has to appeal to TV networks, I think. And you know the institutions out West, if you could add a UCLA, a USC, Oregon, and Washington, to me, boy, that would be a dream scenario. Those four schools, Washington, Oregon, UCLA, or USC, that would be incredible. If not a Pac-10 raid, Alan, I think you'd have to look to the East. And the only schools in the ACC that I think would really – the only one that really would move anybody's needle is North Carolina and, of course, Notre Dame. And the Big Ten's knocked on Notre Dame's door a few times over the years, and there's no interest there. So I'm not sure what the league's going to do. I think if they stand pat, it would be okay. But you know what I got to thinking, Alan? As you said a while ago, anything's possible. Why not have the Big Ten talk to the SEC about doing something together? Yeah. Why not?
Well, and who knows what we're going to have at the end of the day here. I mean, that's what it all comes to television money and eyeballs and stadiums that are full. That is a clear thing. And if anything COVID taught us is that this is a business. It always was, but it fully got put into that mode. There's certainly an academic component to it, but we're not kidding anybody there in terms of what drives the train. And I think your point about Kevin Warren, I think Kevin Warren is the poor guy is the worst timing in the history of man. It would have been nice for him to be able to spend 2 to 3 years working his way into a new gig. Jim Delaney is obviously extremely experienced. And I think it's a good move to have a Barry Alvarez there just because, and I can't speak to Kevin's ability. I mean, obviously he's been involved in football.
No college experience.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's where, again, thrown into this situation of COVID and what happened last year, just brutally difficult in fairness to the job that Kevin Warren's doing. It's just a tough deal. And it is the reality. And I think that's what's going to be another storyline to continue to watch how the Big Ten reacts. All right. The other thing that's not necessarily positive news, but it's real news. And that, of course, in Tippecanoe County, and I can speak only because I'm involved some with schools, K through 12, masking will be involved in all public schools, K through 12, in Tippecanoe County next year, barring any school boards that don't approve it, but they all will in our view. But my point is, Purdue, there's been talk, and it may by the time this airs, that Purdue will mandate masking in classrooms. I don't know that that's official yet, but we do know that's the trend. And my point is, will we have masks in Ross-Ade Stadium? This Delta variant is wreaking havoc in a number of different places, even to people that are vaccinated. And I don't want to get into, this is not a political statement, this is just the reality of it all. But it does beg the question, certainly in a Holloway gym for volleyball, and certainly in Mackey Arena as you get closer. You know, it's going to be an interesting storyline and something that we may all be dealing with. It appears, at least from a K through 12 standpoint, you know, we all kind of hope this is all going to be done with. And I think there's still reason to believe everything should be able to go to Hoyle with respect to practice. But, you know, who knows? And that's going to be another thing that you're going to kind of lurking out there that could present some and I keep rattling on here, but that these conference commissioners have talked about there's no going back on, you know, we're not going to do these rescheduling games. And that brings up the vaccination word as well and the importance of that. So all that may make your life challenging here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, the Big Ten has not officially stated what they're going to do. That's going to come in August. But again, I think that's what everybody expects, Alan. They're not going to let teams make up games. If you can't field a team because of a COVID outbreak, tough luck. It's a no contest or a forfeit. And that was obviously a big topic in Indy last week.
Yeah.
I was told by Coach Brohm that he expected by the end of July, here we are, to have about 90% of his team vaccinated. Now, I think they're struggling at some other schools across the nation. We see talk of NFL teams struggling as well. We've seen other workplace vaccination issues across the country, Alan. You can't force these kids to get vaccinations. They're still going to have testing protocols, I'm sure, that will be stringent if you don't want to get vaccinated. And again, it's the last thing, if you're a football coach, you won't have to worry about, yeah. Right? You got so much you're dealing with about just trying to get your team ready, and to have to deal with this vaccination virus stuff again. If I'm a coach, it drives me crazy, I think. You'd like to get everybody vaccinated, but again, who knows? I don't think any of these schools are going to get to 100% as far as their football team is.
Yeah, because there are certain guys that can't get it too, you know, can't, you know, buy for other reasons and whether they may want it. So, yeah, that's the thing. And the thing that's a little bit frightening of late is that, you know, you see the New York Yankees, you see some other teams that are having some, having that COVID issue. So here's hoping that it will stabilize some, but that's what we're seeing in Tippecanoe County, and people should be aware that that could be a factor come September 4th. That's what could be a very nice September evening for the Purdue's opener against Oregon State, but who knows what will be the protocol for fans coming in to Ross-Ade Stadium. All right, I want to ask, I always ask, what's in the last week? Again, I was in up in Michigan on vacation. I did have the enjoyment of talking to, I won't out one of our subscribers, but a guy I get a chance to meet with every year, but we had some great conversation. These guys that read our site, which is always impressive to me, come up with interesting ideas about how this all should work, from name, image, likeness to the future of all of the conference realignment. So I enjoyed that week and kind of watching that from afar, but it is going to be, that's the thing that now we're in August now, and it's go time for these, not only for these football programs, but you know, for those of us that are involved with being covering them too, it's going to be a lot of fun from that standpoint. How about you? You had a week to yourself with Brian being out. I know you were productive, but any other exciting? I know you had a good story on Brady Allen too, which I enjoyed. What was your story of the week from your standpoint?
Just again, talking to Coach Brom in Indianapolis was always fun. Talking to him about playing Notre Dame, Allen. And I'm like, I'm excited the Irish are back on the schedule here.
Yeah.
So I know it's a brief appearance. Then they'll come back in a few years for about four or five games, I think. But, of course, he was recruited by Notre Dame coming out of Trinity High School in Louisville, among other schools. And, you know, I did a little story on that this week. I was just on the schedule and playing Notre Dame in particular. And it's kind of funny. He talked to me. I go, gosh, Coach Brom, for a guy from a Catholic high school, sure. How do you say no to Notre Dame, you know? And the big thing for him was he had Rick Meyer.
And yeah.
Remember Goshen, Indiana, Rick Meyer. He didn't think, you know, he didn't want to go up there and have to butt heads with Meyer. I thought he was going to be their guy for the near future. And that was one of the big reasons he told me why he ended up not going to Notre Dame. So I always love kind of getting some backstories and learning more about people. And that was a fun revelation, I thought. And again, Purdue at Notre Dame, Allen, the third game of the year, coming off the trip to UConn. Again, Purdue has not been to South Bend since 2012. Can you believe that? I mean, they haven't played in a while, but 2012 was your last time there. Of course, Allen, the last win under the Golden Dome was when, you know.
Yeah, in 2004, and that – and then you had one since 1974. So it's been twice in the last 50 year or 47 years. Not going to be an easy task on September 18th.
And yeah, and you know who's going to be calling the game for Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, that's going to be takes it hard for some Purdue fans. Even though, you know, I get a kick out of some people that think he's doing it. He's doing Notre Dame games, but he's going to be the same Drew Brees. And it'll be fun for the Purdue fans that are not going to be at Notre Dame Stadium to hear what Drew has to say. I think he'll do a good job as an analyst.
Remember how close they came to winning up there with him in 98 and 2000?
Oh, my mercy. Just heartbreaking losses. My guess is that will work its way into the conversation early on on that Purdue-Notre Dame game on September 18th. NBC will be carrying that game, and Drew Brees will be. I see. Is it Drew Brees and And I'm not sure who was it. No, it's probably not Tom Hammond. That's been years ago, right? I don't know. Who will do the lead on that? But yeah. Drew will make them look good. That part, I'm pretty. Or let's just say this: we know Drew will be prepared. Yeah. So that part, I know will be the case. So, Tom, thanks for your time, and we'll look forward to getting ready for first part of practice week, and we'll also for all of our listeners and viewers. It's ramping up and we're ready to go for the 2021 football season. I want to thank the Union Club at Hotel at Purdue. It's a Travel and Leisure World's Best Hotel in Indiana nominee. Boating has been open for a while. It said you can visit PurdueUnionClubHotel.com for more details and also for information on booking. And you can do that to show your Purdue pride as the Purdue Union Club Hotel. Now, not so newly refurbished, redone, but it's something special, and it is definitely worth your time if you can get a chance to even to be visiting there. The Boiler Up Bar, good place to go and have a cocktail before or after your visit to West Lafayette. Before, or during, I should say. So, Tom, have a great week. Thanks all for watching and listening, and we'll look forward to not quite game week, but at least practice week as we head into the month of August in Purdue sports.